Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. Coming up on the programme this week:
who teaches me how to handle relationships? Who's going to teach me how to handle anxiety, depression? Who's going to teach me how to have good communication skills?
Nobody walks around with their face literally turned up because they're so, I'm so happy all the time. I think they're probably, and this is my take on this one, is that people are looking for contentment.
I always believe that we've got these force fields around us, and the more experience we gain, the more we learn, the bigger those force fields, meaning the more that we can absorb in terms of taking more on.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
Welcome to the podcast. We're at the end of July, and this week, recording-wise, has been really difficult because it has been absolutely scorching hot. Now, if you're listening to this podcast when it goes out, you'll know exactly about the period of time that I've been talking about. We've had temperatures 31, 32 degrees up and down the country, and everyone's been sort of gasping for breath and gasping for air at every opportunity as well. The weather has been absolutely glorious, and I'll make reference to that at the start of the conversation. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. It's a podcast which basically shares stories about mental health. Thank you to everybody who downloaded last week's conversation with Dr. Nadia and with Honey Ross. We were talking about body image and the return to, quote, normal life after lockdown, and how basically it's not so straightforward as that. Do check out that podcast if you've not listened so far. If you want to join the Facebook group, you can just search for Mental Health Monday. Look for the artwork which matches the artwork of the podcast. A few other people on there trying to get in on the Mental Health Monday name. But do feel free to join us there. You can follow us on Twitter as well. I am Mr. Mick Coyle, M-I-C-K-C-O-Y-L-E. Check us out there. Loads of stuff going on over the course of the next few weeks. Loads of guests lined up as well, and I'm doing my best to sort of make sure we can get through as many different conversations as possible. This week's guest, you'll hear from in just a few moments' time, is James Boardman. Now, James is from the brand The Man Coach, and, well, the conversation speaks for itself in terms of his experience and the sort of experience he's now trying to pass on to men. There's a dog barking in the background, and that's something which is echoed in a part of the podcast a little bit later on. But we'll be talking through his experiences serving in the military, what that taught him. And there's plenty of military chat in there, including a really fascinating analogy between your mental health and a fort that you're trying to protect. It's a good one. That's on the way in just a few moments' time too. Don't forget, Facebook group, you can check out the podcast. You can check out all of the previous 200 plus episodes of the podcast. They're absolutely free. And please do share with your friends that you're listening to the program. The conversation starts, I'll play you the full bit of this one actually. The conversation starts with me basically trying to explain that it's very, very warm, because the recording is happening during that hot, hot spell. James didn't even have his shirt on. It was that warm. But here we go, this week's Mental Health Monday podcast. Quick mention, I'm not around next week, taking a break with the family. So spending a little bit of time with doing a few bits and bobs there. So there will be a return to the podcast in 2 weeks' time. So apologies for that. But yeah, no podcast next week. Podcast returns after that.
Welcome to the program, James Boardman. Pleasure to speak to you. For people who listen to the podcast in funny orders, we're recording this in, I don't know, it feels like the hottest day ever. I think it's certainly the hottest week we've ever had. So it's absolutely scorching outside. And I think I'm wilting slightly, but because of the noise, we've both got into like sort of like closed off rooms now with like windows closed. I've got a fan on quietly in the background. So if we hear a noise, that's what that is. But fingers crossed, everything will go according to plan. We won't faint or wilt too much over the course of the next half hour or so. It's great to get you on the program, James. The Man Coach brand is sort of your sort of thing, but there's a huge story behind it. And obviously mental health is very much the forefront and focus of the work that you do now. Firstly, let's talk about you and yourself, because it's a military history that people will focus on from a career point of view, working in the Royal Marine Commandos.
So we, I don't know. I think I've always wanted to join the military. When I was a teenager, I always ended up, I always thinking, I want to join the military. And I remember being I had to go to boarding school. My dad died when I was five. and I wasn't socializing. So my mum threw me into like a boarding school to try and get me to socialize again and try and get me out of my shell. And I was there from like 7 years old to about 10 years old. And I remember being about 9 years old and writing to the military saying, I want to join the army. And somebody kindly sent me a letter back saying, hey, look, when you're 16, we'd love to hear from you. And I thought, when I look back at that now, I think that's really quite a nice touch, to be fair. But and then all the way when I left boarding school and went to like normal school and I started socializing and I think dealing with my dad passing, there was always in the background the military thing. And I kind of lost it like towards the end of secondary school and college. And weirdly enough, I think it's always been a calling. And then I went to go to the cinema, and I must have been about 21, something like that. I guess I was 21. I was a store manager for McDonald's at the time. So I was running like a £6 million store, and I just knew I wasn't fulfilled. I was just like this empty shell, you know, running this operation. And I just like, I was lost, you know, at a very young age, very lost. I knew I had something to give, but I didn't know what. And I went to the cinema and we watched this Royal Marine Commando advert. And it's of this young lad, he must have been about 18, he's in his camouflage DPNs and he's sprinting through the commando, like one of the commando tests, and he's sprinting through the field and he goes through the tunnel and he gets trapped in the tunnel. He's like his legs jammed on something. And the commentator's like, is this your limit? Is this your limit? And then he comes out of this tunnel and the guy with the green lid's going, compose yourself, away you go. And you can just, I goose pimples. And then the next scene is this young lad with his green beret camouflaged on at night, going on the speedboat ready for a mission, looking like a man. So he kind of takes through this advert, it's taking you through this journey in the space of a minute and a half, by the way. Like, and I just looked at it and went, oh my fucking God, that's what I want to do. Like, just like that. And then I watched Black Hawk Down, because it was a cinema to watch Black Hawk Down. And I just went, I'm going to do it. And then 40 months later, I quit my job. I had cancelled my wedding and just run away and joined the military and never look back, you know.
I mean, that's obviously a big decision there, but you obviously felt that there was something inside you that was looking for that adventure. And I think sometimes as we sort of pass through our teenage years into those early adult things, we're almost on rails, aren't we, to a certain extent? We almost don't have the confidence to think, oh, actually, I don't need to do this. I can go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Obviously, you felt that there was another path and you had to step away from everything.
Yeah. I definitely did it in the wrong way, though, because I kind of just walked away from the job, which left me in debt. And I kind of like, I didn't handle it well with the relationships and other things. We ended up getting married in the end. But I think a big part of me was just like, F- it, I'm gone. Like, this is like, I guess at a very young age, at 20, I felt like I was suffocating at that time. You know, it was quite interesting when I look back and think about it. You know, I was like, what am I? Like, who am I? And I think I had felt that for a long time, even through my teens, and I think young men do. And as the man coach evolves, I need to address young men, like, you know, and in terms of this, you know, I'm dealing with a lot of men now that are 35 plus, but I kind of think to myself, well, why are we waiting for men to get to 35 before we attend to the difficulties of life? Why aren't we attending to late teens, early 20s, mid 20s type of men? So, you know, especially next year, I'm definitely going to be focusing very much on, look, you know, you might not think it now, but there's a storm coming your way. Let's get prepared for it. And, you know, if I was thinking that at young 20s, then there's men in their 20s, young 20s, thinking that now.
I think it's a good friend of mine. You know, sometimes people say a phrase and then it sticks with you. You think, oh, I'm going to remember that. That's absolutely true. It resonated with me. He said, people who think it's difficult for a boy to go into puberty have no idea what it's like to actually come out of the other side.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's me, because me getting into all that stuff, that was fine. That just, it was what it was. For me, it was when you came out of the other side and you thought, oh, am I a grown up now? Like, is this, am I not supposed to now become what? An adult? Like, what's like? It's just me still. It's just me. I don't have any new ideas or fresher. I'm just. It's just the same guy from like 3 years ago, but just 3 years older and now 18, 19, 20 years of age. That's it's a huge, huge thing. Military life. Can I ask you about that as well? Because so many conversations we've had in regard to people who've got into the military, so much of the focus has been on the routine and sort of things being sort of structured around you. How did you adapt to that structure? Did you feel it was sort of beneficial to you at that particular time?
Yeah, 100%. So I was a bit of a cluster when I look back at life, like most of who isn't though at that age. You know what's interesting, and just when you were talking about that, you know, if we live to 80, in theory, we only spend 16 years, some of us, maybe 18 years, learning through education. Like, that is mental, right? So when you leave college or you leave uni, let's say you leave at 20 years out of those 80 years are the only times that we spend developing ourselves through a system. And when we leave that system, like what you just said there, it's like, now what? Who teaches me how to live my life now? Who teaches me how to handle relationships? Who's going to teach me how to handle anxiety, depression? Who's going to teach me how to have good communication skills as a mid-30-year-old? All I know is when I was young, 20.
So, and the society says, figure it out for yourself. That's the structure we have, doesn't it?
100%. And it makes me laugh when people, when I'm putting up ads and I'm advertising my courses, I'm not a guru at all. I'm not a life coach. I just have lived a very, very active life. I have a lot of experience and wisdom to give. You know what I mean? I've put myself on the line. I've been through the trenches. And I've got a lot to offer people in terms of guidance and mentorship. So when I look at my courses, they are courses to help men re-educate themselves. I'm not trying to make these guys me. I'm trying to make them, but with more self-awareness, more education. And that's when I see people going, oh, but you want our money, don't you, in all of this. And I'm just like, dude, you know, you are exactly a prime example why you need to be learning to live, because you can't control your ego. You can't control your emotions. There's zero emotion intelligence. People don't understand their emotions. So there is a lack of clarity in terms of who they are and education. So when I went into the military, that was me. Like, I'd stopped learning about myself. So I was in the big wild world and I was just kind of like punching the face one after the other. When I went into the military, that's what I started to learn again. Like, every day in the military is a learning day. You know, everything is about personal standards. Everything is about discipline. Everything's about showing up. Everything's about moving forwards, positivity, being part of a camaraderie. And, you know, through basic training, you're taught a basic level of standard. And, but by the way, that basic level of standard is the highest level of standard. Do you know what I mean? And for me, I feel very privileged and honored and lucky that I took that plunge, because if it didn't, I probably would be a great client for the main coach, whoever would have created the main coach in the future. So the military in some respects gave me life experience, it gave me education, it gave me self-awareness, it gave me all of those things that I desperately needed, even at that young age, that really set me up. And really, every day is a test. You know, since the first 3 years when I come out of the military were damning, you know, you're very, very tough. But since I kind of overcome that, I've worked on myself every single day. And it doesn't mean that I don't have bad days, doesn't mean that I don't have stresses or strains or struggles or frustrations, but what it means is that I'm much more equipped to be able to deal with them, process them, adapt and move on. You know, I'm quite open. I would say that this week's been a great week, but probably the 3 weeks before, I'd probably say that I was struggling mentally to deal with brand new baby, brand new house, brand new business, trying to get my book up and running, trying to deal with all the kids, like everything going on, self-doubt, worry, frustration, all of them. But I understand it. It's like the Lego movie. Have you ever watched the Lego movie?
Sure.
So you kind of, he at the end, he can see how it all fits together. And that's kind of like how my brain works, is that I see all the pieces of the problems and I can see them and I can still show up and put them together. But the problem is that we're not always in the mood to put them together, but it's so ingrained in my brain now that I can still do that and still show up, even if I'm not feeling right. But I can see and recognize what I go through in those patterns. And a lot of that has stemmed from those early foundations in the military.
But can you explain that for us, Phil? So you worked as like a sniper. So although we're talking about sort of, you know, emotional intelligence, wellness, thinking about your wider situation, you're also there to do a job, and a job that actually most people don't really want to do. And although the military, I'm sure, want intelligent, smart people who have an ability to think for themselves, working with them and for them, at the same time, they're thinking, well, you know, we're not here to do a yoga session here. You're going into these particular environments to do a job. How did you sort of square that circle? Or was it the mass of experience and your ability to reflect on it then gave you that sense of scale or a slight distance, I guess, from those very, very volatile situations?
Yeah, I think... I never used to look at it as like, you're going to go and join the Marines and you're going to go out and you're going to go to war and all of that, because unless we go into World War III, you know, it's going to be skirmishes. There's going to be periods of time, like, you know, when I first joined, Afghan wasn't really up and running, you know. For me, it was all about the bigger picture. So like, you know, although I was a sniper, I was also a physical training instructor. So the roles varied. You know, I went from being just a standard Marine and learning my trade. You know, at the very start of my career, I wasn't a great Marine because I wasn't applying myself. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't applying myself. And then I did the sniper thing and that raised my game. You know, suddenly then become a sniper instructor or assistant to the instructors. And then I suddenly become a PTI. And as that journey goes, as you evolve as a human being, you become wiser, you build experience, you learn valuable lessons. I don't really use the word failure. I just use the word learn. And, you know, experience, failure is experience. And what it does is really strengthens, if you like, the force field around. I always believe that we've got these force fields around us. And the more experience we gain, the more we learn, the bigger those force fields, meaning the more that we can absorb in terms of taking more on. So by the time you go to Afghan, depending on where you are in your career and your mindset, you're at a level of, okay, let's just go with it. You know, you don't really get hyped up. You just do. You just get on with it. And some people can see that as non-emotional, whereas you're just well-conditioned to go to your job. So, for example, a recruit, okay, that comes straight out of training and goes straight to Afghan is battle ready, okay? However, there is going to be a vast element of nervousness, inexperience, overwhelm, all of those things, versus a corporal in the Royal Marines who's been in for 10 years, maybe went to Iraq, maybe he's done some other pieces. He's going to be so much better conditioned to be able to deal with those situations. It's almost that it's just like, well, this is the job.
And that's that conversation, isn't it, about, and it's interesting you describe as a force field, because you've been in those sorts of environments. I think you've almost described, you know, resilience there. If we look across the board, though, you know, most, virtually everybody gets out of bed in the morning, puts one foot on the floor, puts a second foot on the floor, heads off, gets their breakfast, and then goes out into the world. But everybody's experience is completely different. And actually, it's an interesting way of thinking about it, that whether you're 18 or whether or not you're 80, it's not necessarily that those steps or those moments or what you've got coming that day. It's how you perceive it based on that yeah. force field yeah. and that resilience that you've got, thinking, well, I've no idea what's coming my way today and I'm scared of it and I don't know how to handle it. And if it comes my way, I'm going to turn a run. Or it's the, I've been here before, I've done this a million times, I know what's around that corner. Or even if I don't know what's around that corner, I can have a pretty good guess and I'll know how to respond when I come up against something. And I think we underestimate resilience, or we presume that resilience is a wall or a defense. Whereas actually it's, I think to a certain extent, it's the door that opens outwards, isn't it? Because it's the thing that allows you to see a situation from a slightly better point of view, more positive point of view, or a point of view from which you are in control of, or that you can take control of, which, you know, we all remember those first days in a new job, first day, you know, stepping out off a helicopter in Afghanistan. Yeah. You mustn't have had a clue what was going to come.
Yeah, 100%. I remember stepping off the Chinook into the base, and just around us was an array of Afghanistanis, and any one of them could have had a weapon. You'd like, literally, you heard horror stories. You know, I was like, God, I must have only been out of the box maybe 2 years, maybe a year and a half. So, you know, I was like, oh my God, we're here. This is it. Do you know what I mean? Whereas I remember some of my corporals that were there at the time, you know, like been in 12, 15 years, calm as like chilled, like composed. Do you know what I mean? And they were the people I used to look up to, like all the time. And that essentially is that leadership and that resilience, you know. I think when it comes to resilience, and we talk about the different backgrounds and getting up and what put step one step in front of the other, I don't think people quite realize just what they are capable of. Like, because the internal dialogue in here is one of, oh, I'm not good enough, or I'm comparing myself to A, B, and C, or, you know, I've never really been able to sustain anything. Like, you know, there is just an array of excuses and that goes on in people's minds. And it sometimes can almost turn into a victim mentality, or as I would call it. And I recognize it because I spent 3 years in that mindset, you know, blaming everyone else. It's everyone else's fault but my own.
Well, here's, I think this is the crux of, I think, our conversation today that I wanted to really sort of boil down to. When you're in the military, you are adhering to someone else's standard. There is a set standard, and you're basically told this is the standard to which you are expected to achieve. But obviously, if you then go out and then run your man coach sessions and are saying, I want you all to achieve somebody else's standards which are relevant for certain environments but not others, how have you flipped that to be able to say, I've worked in these environments where certain standards are put upon me, but actually now I want you to independently find your own resilience, your own way through? How do you make that switch? Because that's got to be then an internal decision or a set of decisions, as opposed to something which is, you know, imposed on you from an external source.
Is that me personally, or how do I get the guys to do it?
Yeah. So how do you sort of influence guys to kind of go, so that they don't just go, he's just teaching me everything he learned in the military, but I don't want to be in the military. I want to be me working in a school. I want to be me, you know, as a nurse. I want to be me looking for a job. How do you sort of cross that little divide?
Yeah. I think one of the things we look at, one of the biggest things that I've really tried to verbalize in the last 12 months is creating a mission. So one of the things that I think is missing for a large majority of men is a mission. So a mission is, in theory, direction, it's process, it's identity, it's evolution. Okay, and I think when we create a mission for ourselves, we create an emotional connection to showing up, okay? And to reach that mission, to meet that emotional connection, we have to meet a certain standard to ourselves. Now, every single individual is different, okay? You know, I'm 10 years out of the military. I'm a different guy than I was when I was in the military, 100% completely different values, different principles, different character. And I still get people today going, you're an ex-Marine, can't believe you, like, you know, doing this or that. And I'm just like, I'm not just walked out the door of the military, right? You know, I've been out 10 years, like a lot's changed in 10 years. Let's move on. But I do have guiding principles and characteristics that follow me, you know. So when I'm trying to get people to reach a certain standard, it's about having some self-respect about themselves in terms of, look, if you want to do something with your life, you want to change, if you want to create a life that you can be sort of super proud of, if you want to be the role model to your kids, if you want to be a great husband, if you want to thrive in a career, if you want to nail your work-life balance, there are certain criteria in your internal dialogue that you have to meet. These are basic guidelines, i.e. foundations. So we often look at any process or building. If you think about building a skyscraper, if we built a skyscraper like high, really high, without foundations, at some point it's going to topple. And that's what happens with men, right? So New Year's Eve, classic. I'm going to change. I'm going to be fit. I'm going to be healthy. Right, that's the start of the skyscraper. 4 weeks in, skyscraper topples. Why does it topple? Because the chaos of life completely crumbles you, punches you in the face, and you can't deal with it because you don't know how to deal with it. So we have to build a structure. We have to build foundations. And I do that through the four pillars: health, personal development, relationships, and career/business. And what I'm trying to do is build a foundation using those four pillars to make sure that if you imagine a rectangle, okay, and that's your structure. I always think of it as a fort. So if you want to think military, like a forward operating base. And all around you is the chaos of life, stress, pressures, uncertainties, frustrations. And all of those pressure, all of those chaos is trying to break into your forward operation base. That is trying to get in. But what we do in our foundations is reinforce that fort by showing up to ourselves, by having standards. And the higher our standards are in terms of showing up, morning routines, transition routines, journaling, exercise, eating, and at least an 80-20 diet, eat 80% well, 20% naughties, as long as we manage our relationship, all of that, we only strengthen and fortify our rectangle, our structure, our foundations, so that we keep the chaos at bay, right? It's very much a similar analogy to the force field. So when it comes down to a certain level of standards, if your standards are not high enough, then what ends up happening is that chaos breaks in and it just overruns your structure. So when people are turning around and going, oh, I just keep falling off the wagon. Oh, I can't find an emotional connection. Oh, I'm not sure. Oh, I'm not winning. That's because we're not taking a step, but we've got to dig down before we dig up. And everybody wants, I want to lose this weight. I want to change. All this stuff. I'm telling you, it takes 365 days for someone to be even remotely on the path to changing. Like, if you haven't got your eyes set on the next 365 days, showing up, accepting that you're going to fail along the way, accepting it's going to be hard emotionally, physically, and mentally, you will never change. And like, I've worked with a lot of guys. I run a five-day challenge. After five-day challenge, everyone feels like, oh my God, I'm about to change. Following week, pow, chaos. Okay, and it's the long game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's something though about sort of society and the way we're supposed to run in the rat race, that if you want to build a skyscraper, it's right, get your bricks, get as high as possible. Oh, that one's higher than mine. I better work harder. Theirs has fallen down. Good. Somebody else has failed. That gives me more chance of success, even though the two things didn't ever marry up. Whereas actually nobody ever goes, right, okay, first of all, let's get a piece of paper out. Let's write down a list. Who will we need for this project? How far down are we going to have? People don't do that because actually it's make your money now. It's bolt straight out of the door and be the difference today. But actually what you've just described there is showing enough emotional intelligence, patience, self-regard to go, okay, I will build that skyscraper, but first I need to sit down and make some plans and actually think, what will this skyscraper look like in 5 years' time, as opposed to just booting it straight away and putting too much pressure on yourself to deliver, where if one thing goes wrong, suddenly it all comes down. But society doesn't teach us that, does it? In fact, I don't think there's many places that you ever learn that. It only comes through, I think, life experience, probably negative life experience, that you suddenly go, I better not make that mistake again. Yeah. I'll try a little bit harder next time. I'll think a little bit deeper next time. But those core values aren't taught, are they, necessarily? Certainly not within like the national curriculum or within a workplace environment. If you're in a workplace environment, it's you better build that skyscraper as quickly as possible. Otherwise, the boss is on your back and so on and so forth.
It's the analogy of learn, grow, repeat. Everything I'm talking about is everything that I've gone through learning. Like, through that learning, we gain experience, we fail, we make bad decisions. we go a wrong way, something doesn't work out, we learn from that, then we grow from that, and we just keep repeating that. And that is essentially what we're trying to do. And our analogy of remember the mission, that's a big thing in the man coach world, is remember the mission. The mission is a 10-year vision. So like I challenge men to ask themselves, where do you visualize yourself being in 10 years from now? When I was 40, I created a 10-year plan on all four pillars. I put my top three things that I wanted to achieve in each pillar. And that was my vision. That was like that. Now I have direction. Do you know what I mean? And now I know I'm going this way. These are the things that I have to do. If some of these things that I put on my 10-year vision, if I achieve them in 3, 4, 5 years, brilliant. Okay. So we evolve. And we constantly evolve, because you can reverse engineer this. You can then go, right, the vision is from my 7-year checkpoint, 5-year checkpoint, 3-year checkpoint. And it doesn't have to be detailed, right? So between the 1 year and the 10 year is purely visual to give you some direction, to give you a process, to know what the bigger picture is, to have the timeline. So instead of going, I want to lose my 6 stone after, like, you know, or 4 stone in like 4 weeks or whatever, you now have a timeline of activity of what you're doing. You know, you've got clarity, consistency, control, and clarity. Then the planning phase is, what can we achieve in 12 months? Right, these are the things I need to do by the end of the 12 months to move me in the right direction to achieve the 3-year checkpoint, to move me in the direction of using the 5-year checkpoint. So everything is one step. And then we break it down into a quarter. This is what I need to do these 12 weeks. Great. This is what I need to do this week to achieve that. Great. This is what I need to do today to achieve the week, to achieve the quarter. And suddenly it's the ripple. It's like throwing a stone in and the ripple effect. And people then have purpose and process in a day. And I know that my morning routine is about keeping this healthy, emotions healthy, physically healthy, primed, so that I'm here forever. And then I don't overload myself with work. I do my same hours. When I finish work, I don't have to stress about, I've got to do it all tonight and stay up till midnight, because I know that I just have Monday to Friday. I just do my little chunks. I call them 1% wins. And this is what I preach a lot. 1% wins, 1% wins. And then eventually you hit a huge win. You hit a breakthrough and you go, now I get it.
How do I phrase this? Do you have like an ethical guideline that you keep for when guys tell you about what they want or hope to achieve? Do you have to say to like some of them, look, that might, you might think that's what you want to achieve, but that might not be a particularly healthy sort of attitude? Or do you, if they want to...
I am a big believer. So whenever I mentor men, I will always give my opinion, but I'll always encourage people to go with their original ideas, because the only way we learn is when we fail. So when I turn around and go, if someone said to me, I don't know, I want to lose 3 stone in 2 months, I would be like, okay, that's going to put you under a lot of pressure, and you might end up getting a little bit stressed out with it. Why don't we just aim for 1.5 stone in the next 12 weeks? Let's build up some habits. No, I want to do it this. I want to go, I'm the all or nothing guy. So what I'll end up doing, instead of fighting that, is that I will write that down, what they've just said, date it. And then when we have the conversation 6 weeks later, and you feel really stressed out and put myself under all this pressure, and I just go, 6 weeks ago, we just had this discussion where I said, like, so men have to learn, okay, from their own experience. Many men are wasting, like, a lot of the content I put out right now, there'll be a lot of guys who'll be like, you don't know anything, all of this. And then maybe 5 years down the line, they'll go, maybe he was right. Okay. Well, then you have guys who are listening and who are just not implementing. And then you'll have guys who are listening and doing little bits. And then you have guys that will listen, come on a program, and suddenly go, like, I've just wasted the last year of my life procrastinating to do something. And we're all at different stages in my life. And I get, you know what I mean? There's real life dramas going on. But whenever isn't there something going on in life, that if you manage to get what I would call the mill pond. So the mill pond is when the sea's flat, right? It's beautiful. It was like that this morning when I went swimming. Like mill pond, life is good. Like that doesn't happen a lot. So if you if you ever expect that, if you expect that mill pond to happen all of the time, oh man, guys, you know, you're in trouble, because it's always usually a little bit wavy. What I mean by that, there's chaos around the corner. Whenever is going to be that perfect time to start? No, you're waiting for, everyone's waiting for the mill pond. Like, that's when I'm starting swimming. I'm going swimming. Do you know what I mean? Someone with the New Year's Eve will go, I'm starting swimming back in January, but I'm going to start in July when it's mill pond and it's nice and warm. So you waste 6 months.
Yeah, but let me ask you about that, though, because I think, you know, sometimes people have this thing where they're constantly looking for, and they say, what do you want? I want to be happy. But actually, nobody walks around with their face literally turned up because they're, I'm so happy all the time. I think they're probably, and this is my take on this one, is that people are looking for contentment, that they can just, they can look around and they can kind of go, okay, but maybe things are difficult, but actually I am content. I'm sort of, I am happy within my surroundings without going around with this big sort of smiling face. How do you make sure that people, if they're on a journey, which is 10 years towards a goal, this mission for 10 years, how do you ensure that actually throughout that 10-year period, they're also finding the contentment? Because I guess you don't want to do is go, hey, you're 10 years up, you got to the four-bedroom, you know, detached house, or you got to the marriage, or you got to the great relationship with your kids. I hope that's working out for you because you've just done 10 years. You've got to have stages along the way, haven't you, where you're finding content.
Yeah, I mean, that's the breakdown. It's a day-to-day content. It's feeling content on the day-to-day basis. It's the postman dropping the thing off. Enough! So the 10-year vision is just literally what we're working towards. So we only really connect with the 10-year vision every quarter, right? So like we're checking in. So once we've, the end of the 12 weeks, that's a major milestone. I wouldn't check in with my 10-year vision like every week. So I'm kind of checking with it every quarter. Am I on track to whatever? So the contentment comes from at the end of each day, when I review a day, or when I look at my day and or I look at myself in the mirror and I ask myself the question, am I on track with the path that I set myself out to be? And that comes on a day-to-day basis. So I'm a big visualization, like I like visual and it really helps me explain things. So I look at it this way. If I dropped you off in the middle of the desert with nothing and said, get yourself out of the desert, like straight away, you feel emotions of uncertainty, like anxiety, worry, like all of those things, right? So that's not contentment, is it? So, but if I dropped you in there and I went, right, buddy, here's a map, here's a compass, okay? Here's where I want you to get to, and here's all the checkpoints that I want you to meet along the way. Suddenly you feel reassured. Suddenly you feel like, well, I'm in a sticky situation, but I feel content because I know my way out.
And I'm equipped to get out of this situation.
100%, because that's what that certainty comes. Certainty for me, certainty and clarity are like feelings of being in control. For me, control is one of the most important words for men and women, but for everybody, when we feel in control. So if I dumped you in the desert and you had nothing, you'd be exposed. If I dumped you in there with a map, a compass, to like give you a heads up, man, I feel a little bit more in control. So I feel a little bit more content. And that is what's really important, because what you do, and by the way, those milestones and that map and that compass is your mission, your 10-year vision, or your plans. It's then you showing up each day to make it there. If you don't show up, you don't hit your milestones. And that's the same with your mission. If you don't show up, you don't hit your milestones, you don't achieve what you said you were gonna do. If I said to people, write your dream year, like don't have any self-limiting beliefs, don't worry about what's happened in the past, don't worry about money, like tell me where you want to be in a year. And they wrote it all down and you broke it into four quarters, and this is what I've got to do. So I've just got to hit this checkpoint, punch in my check, quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, quarter four, and that those milestones and those checkpoints led you to live the life that you wanted to live, and you actually followed it, you would be living the life that you want to live. And everyone would, but the counter to that, everyone would go, yeah, but you know, I've got four kids. Yeah, but you know, my career is this. Yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. You get run over by a bus tomorrow and at your funeral, you can even, someone can even say, oh yeah, JB, he really nearly met his goals. He was nearly that guy. He nearly achieved this, but he was too busy saying yeah, but all of the time. Do you know what I mean? And I think it's, life's short. And when I looked at the Christian Eriksen thing at the football and he dropped just like that, fit 29-year-old, I looked at that and was like, that could be like, I'm trying to keep myself fit mentally and emotionally to keep myself alive as long as I possibly can. But yet there's a professional footballer nearly dropping down dead on the ground. That, if that's not perspective for every human being on this planet, I literally don't know what is.
James, it's an absolute pleasure to spend some time with you. If people just type in the Man Coach into any search engine, into Facebook, into YouTube as well, the website comes up. I'll put all the links in the podcast blurb as well. I really appreciate your time today. Fascinating insight as well. Thank you for your time. I really appreciate you joining us on the program.
I'm loving all your trophies in the background.
I've had a decent run of it, to be honest.
Mate, that's so impressive.
We'll just keep on keeping on.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999.